The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we're going to get our horse on because we're at Sam Houston Race Park and lots of other cool stuff happening. So let's get right to it. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master, back in studio. Baltimore keeping us on air out here at the race park. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is the number. Probably best to just text that because we don't take calls generally when we're on the road. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Friday. Weekend's here, basically. And we're out here at Sam Houston Race Park.
It's right around the corner,
yes,
Fred.
Well, for us, it's exactly 2 hours and 58 minutes away. But out here at Sam Houston Race Park, it is Food Truck Friday. So we're going to get a chance to try some of the great food that they have out here. I will also be out here tomorrow from 6 to 8. So if you're coming out to the track tomorrow night, we'll be up in the ESPN section. You can come hang out. It'll be fun.
Will you be wearing that hat tomorrow?
I'll probably be wearing a different hat tomorrow. This is my kind of celebratory racetrack hat that I can wear with headphones.
Okay.
Because I've got, you know, the more traditional racetrack hat that headphones won't fit over.
It's more of like a derby-style hat?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other one's more of a fedora.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So
what do you call this? This is like a golf cap, right?
Kind of a golf cap, I guess. Yeah, it's sort of, you know, I'm not sure what you call that.
What would it be called if you turned it around backwards?
A backwards golf hat?
That would be like an artist look, right?
Yeah. That would be, and I'm not an artist.
Hmm.
So
interesting.
Yeah, it's a different look. I'm celebrating today. I'm in a very celebratory mood. It's been a fantastic day for me. So finally have finalized all the details. And we are moving ahead with the movie. It's actually going to happen. So, done deal.
That's always good to hear.
Yeah, and it's been one of those things that I never really thought it would happen, even though we've been moving forward on this for a while. But after we met today and agreed on all the terms and got the contract done, suddenly it's like, wow, this is really going to happen. They're going to make a movie out of my story.
Okay, now what? Does this mean you are going to be at the Cannes Film Festival and you're going to be doing a bunch of stuff that's going to piss me off?
Not until it actually comes out. We're looking at probably a two-year time frame.
You know, okay.
If I live that long.
Yeah, we probably won't be working together by then.
Yeah, by then, no. But,
okay, well, that's good.
You know, I think I'll be doing a lot of stuff around it, but not until it comes out. And that's
like when they buy the movie from you, they're basically paying you and saying, okay, we've got it from here, right? You don't have to do much now, right?
Not really. I'm going to have a producer credit, basically, and I'll have – you know, the one scene that I'm going to write, which I've told you guys about
before.
I thought
you wrote all the scenes.
No, I wrote – they're going to have someone else. The next step is someone else actually takes the novel.
Oh, like make a screenplay.
And makes a screenplay out of it, which I'm very excited to see somebody else's ideas of what I do. And so I'm kind of excited about that, too. I want to see what they do with it. But, yeah, it's going to be their story now, so they can do with it what they want. But I'll be involved in that. I'll have the one scene that I'm writing for all of us. And that'll be like a two-minute scene. It'll just be us playing poker and being dickweeds. And then, I'll help with the promotion of it and stuff. But for the most part, I'm not going to be out there. Or, well, a lot of it's going to be filmed here. Okay. Because it is some of it, a lot of it's based around the racetrack. But
it'll be filmed at this racetrack?
Well, that's the plan. But obviously, all that has to be arranged. But they're going to take care of all that. So a lot of it's based. A lot of it's based here. A lot of it's based in a bar. A lot of it's based in Galveston, and the rest of it's in New Orleans. So it's really four settings that we have to do. But there's a good chunk that we hope to film right here.
Well, cool.
So, I'm working with some great people. Former student of mine's directing it. Former colleague of mine is the producer, and it's really exciting. I can't tell you how it still feels like it's not real, like it's happening to somebody else. But it's something that I've always wanted to do, and to have somebody want to buy my stuff and make a movie out of it it makes you feel pretty freaking good. I'll tell you that.
Well, so, good for you, Fred. You're wearing a fancy hat.
Yes, I'm wearing the celebratory hat,
and you have like a sweatshirt on over a polo, so your collar is popped.
Yes,
you're with it today.
I'm trying to be with it today.
Good
trying
for
to
you.
Clean up a little bit.
Good
but,
for you.
Wife and I are going to go out and celebrate a little bit tonight when I get home and
make love.
Well, I hope that's part of the celebration, but yeah. If not, that's okay. We'll have a good time anyway.
Do you think there will be any weird lovemaking going on, like outside the box, since it's such a big celebration?
Once I tell her how much we're getting, I hope so.
Okay.
Which I've told you, so.
You might be knocking on the back door tonight, you're saying.
That would be.
That'd be okay for you?
Yeah, but okay. Please don't put that image in people's heads, because I'm disgusting enough as it is.
I'm picturing you mounting her, wearing your foxtail, and just having your way.
I don't have a foxtail
yet.
Well, maybe I'll swing by Darling Way.
There you go. There you go.
4-9S is going to be a big budget movie or something smaller. Right now, the budget we're looking at is between $5 and $10 million. So not a huge budget, but that's still significant.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other ways that I found out that it's kind of cool being involved in this process, because you can make money with things like product placement. And so we're going to do a bunch of that, where companies pay to be in the movie, and then
like you're going to be drinking a Diet Pepsi,
yeah, or something like that.
Nice.
And the other thing,
plus it's like free Diet Pepsi,
right?
If you're into that kind of thing,
which I'm not, but it'll be for the actors, not me.
Right.
They'll want to see famous people drinking it, not me. But another thing I found out that was pretty cool is like the scenes that we were going to shoot in New Orleans, we're probably going to shoot in Mississippi, because
that's where the tax breaks are.
Yeah, they give you back like 60% of whatever you spend there.
It used to be in Louisiana, and then
yeah.
The other states caught up. So I think it kind of rotates through where if things get shot, because different places get different tax breaks. But that makes sense.
Yeah. So and then for those of us who don't know what the movie's about, it's based on my novel, which is still not out, but that I'll have an announcement about next week probably. First chapter's on the website. It's called Jesus Just Left Chicago. If you want to go check it out, just go to HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. You can see the first chapter on there. It's under Houston Stuff. You'll have to dig down a little bit to find it. But it's a racetrack novel that involves Jesus, the mob, lots of sex and violence, lots of drinking.
Horses.
Horses, yes. And it's going to be...
Small people?
I don't think I have a small person in there.
Pretty lame.
Yeah. Damn it.
You could have had Dinklage in your movie.
Well, I could have, but they've actually we were thrown out some pretty interesting names who might be interested.
So. Bradley Cooper?
No, not him. Hmm. So, but
George
yeah.
Clooney?
That'd be kind of cool.
But you're saying no?
No. But we're going to have
Bobby De Niro.
He would actually be really good for the old mob guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's too old. Because this guy's in his 50s. I think De Niro's too old for that now.
Macaulay Culkin?
Is he still alive?
Yep.
Ah.
So that's a no also?
Yeah, so probably.
You know what
him.
You should do is take someone and like from your death pool, put them in your movie, and then Brandon Liam.
That's not a bad idea, especially as if we get closer to the end of the year and
exactly.
I need some points.
Yeah, if you're
hey, it was an accident.
From behind.
Didn't know the gun was loaded.
Yeah.
There are guns in there.
Exactly.
So it could happen. But, it's just so you're afraid they might change it or ruin it. Well, I hope they change it, because it the way it's written doesn't work as a movie. Because it's written like books of the Bible. And from a visual standpoint, the scenes are very visual, but from a movie standpoint, how they do it, it's going to have to be a different order. So, but I think there's some exciting things that they can do. And if they ruin it, well, I'll go home and cry in the money.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
That's a good guess.
But no.
Not that big. You're aiming a little too high.
Okay.
I was hoping to talk to our buddy.
Do you think like maybe you could get the guy who originally played Jason Voorhees in the movies? It's like the original Friday the 13th Jason.
Is he still alive?
I don't know, but probably. And, like, you know, we never saw his face because he was wearing a mask, but you could be, like, from Friday the 13th fame, boom. And then that way you're basically stealing his thunder and taking that with you and throwing it right onto your movie.
Interesting. I don't even know what he looks like.
I don't either. You won't be, I'll find out during the break.
Somebody asked if it's going to be rated R. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, for it to be effective, it's going to have to be rated R. There's too much. There's just a couple scenes that are very graphic, and yeah, so definitely will be R. Luke and Owen Wilson, here's a good guess.
Is that true? I mean,
no.
Oh.
I'll tell you off air who we were talking to. Okay. But I do want to reach out to our buddy Matty Rauch because I think he would be a great person to play.
It's a good idea.
One of the main characters. So. And I don't know what he's working on right now, but we're already going to reach out to him for sure too. So, but it's going to be great, man. It's just one of those things that, you know, when it's like when you win something big, like when you won your fight, you know how excited you were to go in and win your last fight. I mean, that's kind of how this feels. It just feels like a big, yeah, just a big moment. And I never imagined that all of this would come together. The last 6 months especially for me have been amazing. I've been very lucky, and this is just another big accomplishment. And there's a lot of work ahead, and there's going to be a lot of hurdles. I know how these things work with movies, and you know, there's fits and starts, and I'm sure that there'll be a time when, oh, it's not going to happen. But, all I know is I've agreed. I've got a contract.
Okay.
Getting paid. It's all good.
I'm dead serious. Look at that guy. Tell me he can't fit in your movie.
How old is he now?
He's born in 65.
Oh, so he's my age.
That guy can fit in your movie, right?
I bet we could find a place for him. His nose is uglier than mine, too.
I mean, that guy looks like like he'd be in some kind of a mobster movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's only
he looks like a he looks like a slime ball is what he looks like.
Yeah,
he looks like a bad person.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what
you need that guy. He's the original Jason Voorhees. You need him.
I will have to.
Or get some bit player, some sorry ass dude from like The Godfather.
Yeah,
like
from Godfather fame.
One of the guys that was in the casino, like you know, like one of the guys that got gunned down, never credited, but he was in the movie, and like you know, you could say from the movie The Godfather, you know, so and so, blah blah blah, and then take that heat.
Rico, what's so if I have a black man in the movie, he wants to audition for that
There's
role?
There's no blacks in
yeah,
this
there
movie.
Is. There is. There's
what?
There is a character who is a former football player who grew up on a catfish farm near Beaumont, so he's kind of a country black guy.
Vince Wilfork.
Kind of like that, only not as fat as Vince. This guy's in shape. All right. Well, I'm going to sleep like a champ tonight, but I sleep like a champ every night thanks to Texas Mattress Makers. And all month long, they have their love-approved beds. And that means exclusive factory. These beds are luxurious, top-of-the-line beds that can improve your sex life for the better. And I promise you, when you go out there, and because they make the beds and sell them directly to you, you're going to save a bunch of money. You're also going to learn a lot about mattresses. I knew nothing about mattresses before I started hanging out with Yuval and the gang over there. I just would go buy something. And never cared about it, didn't think about it, spent too much money. But when you see how they make these with these coils and the graphite that they put in that Athens bed that I have upstairs now, it's just amazing, and they're always improving and always making better beds, and they're saving you money the whole time. But and the best part is that if you buy it from them, you're going to get a bed that's made for you, not for somebody else. It's going to be made for how you sleep. They're not going to charge you too much. If you go and they find the right bed for you and it's half the price you were planning to pay, that's what they're going to put you on. They're not going to charge you that extra money. And, man, walking through that showroom and seeing some of the prices on these really quality beds, it is amazing. Visit TexasMattressMakers.com, and you can learn better sleeping tips as well as bed specials, all the things that they have going on all month long. Yuval and his family have been making mattresses and foundations for over 30 years at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation. Drop by and visit them today, 4619 Navigation. Tell them you're a Blitzer. They love the Blitzers. They will take care of you. They're going to take care of you whether you're a Blitzer or not. But Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live at Sam Houston Race Park. 50-cent beer tonight, by the way, starts at 6 o'clock. So if you wish to celebrate with inexpensive beer, you can do that. And Food Truck Friday, going to have food trucks out here. Can't wait for the food. They're supposed to bring us some so we can tell you how great it is. And, yeah, just ready for some live racing tonight.
Hey, I've got some UFC news.
Awesome.
And there's a little bit of egg on the face of a lot of people who quickly jumped to the conclusion when the news came out that Cyborg had been flagged for doping.
Yeah.
And, of course, the UFC goes on and holds a 145-pound title fight between a girl who had lost two fights in a row and a girl that no one had ever heard of. And turns out USADA announced today that Cyborg has been cleared of any potential anti-doping policy violations.
Wow.
So much for that.
Yeah.
Which means that by the way, and we didn't really talk about UFC 109 or 209 last week, but after the fight, of course, the Jermaine Duranemi, who won in sort of a strange fashion. I mean, it was kind of probably a bad decision, but B, she was hitting her after the bell and happened multiple times. Well, of course, in the press conference, she's the new champion. The first thing they were going to ask her is, well, what about fighting Cyborg? She's long been considered the best 145-pound woman in the world. What would you think about a match with her? And she said, I broke my hand in 2015, and I need to get surgery on it. And then after I'm healed up, I'd love to fight her. Meanwhile, 2 days later, after Holly Holm starts, people are questioning her win over Holly Holm. She says, I'll fight Holly Holm in 2 months. It's like, wait, I thought the hand that you hurt in 2015 was going to prevent you. This is the problem. Everyone is going to be ducking this chick. For good reason. I would duck her, too. She could beat me up. So I would duck her. But I'm also not a high-level prize fighter. So I'd want to fight the best people. So, cleared of all anti-doping. Apparently, and it's exactly what she said, she had some sort of disorder that her physician was treating her for. Like, because she had problems with her weight cuts.
Yeah.
So the doctor had prescribed this for her. And, you know, apparently it had something in it that flagged. The UFC knew about it. And so when she had to go back and get basically retroactively, like, they had to show when she started taking this medicine, exactly what for. And USADA, who they don't often accept explanations. They're usually not trying to hear it, but in this case they did, and she's totally clear. And there's probably a lot of people who owe Cyborg an apology. I doubt she'll get one, but I'm sure there are a lot of people that do.
But that's it's easy to jump to conclusions on stuff like that, and obviously a lot of people did. 713-780-3776. If you want to text the show, you can use that number. Can also hit us up on Twitter, as always. Keith, who won our game, wants to know how long he has to raise the million to be in the movie. You got about 3 months, probably. That's the cost to have a spot at the poker table with me and my friends in that scene.
Can Keith's wife sit on your lap in the scene?
No, I've already got somebody sitting on my lap.
Oh.
So that's already been cast.
Okay.
But
she could have been the almost virginal, you know,
yeah, almost
cocktail waitress.
Yeah, almost. But no, that also gets you a piece of it. It's not just you're not just paying for that. You're investing in it. So
oh, okay.
There's that. I'm not just saying, oh well, here, $1 million, you get to be in it. No, $1 million gets you a piece of it. Is Jeffrey Jones going to play me in the movie? That's not nice. That's not nice. But somebody asked, who is GSP going to fight when he comes back?
I think Michael Bisping. Is my guess, which I think I've said before. I don't think of Michael Bisping much as far as a UFC champion. I think he's one of the worst UFC champions ever. He's right up there with Matt Serra and Forrest Griffin. I mean, dude landed a
short-lived Matt Serra.
He landed what is maybe one of the luckiest punches ever, and he caught he had an opponent who was much like Matt Serra did, who really underestimated him, and he became the champion, and then the first title defense that they gave him was a guy who was well past his prime in Dan Henderson. So, I think that that'll probably be the case, and I think GSP wipes the mat with Michael Bisping.
It's been gone a long time, though.
Yep.
So
3 years off.
Yeah, but
it's a long time away for a game that's evolved a lot,
but,
you know.
But like you've said the other day when we were talking about his comeback, he seems like a guy who's going to hold up pretty well.
I think so.
And just with his body type and everything else, and he's such a workout warrior that you would think he'd be okay. And he's not that old, right?
35.
Yeah, he's still got some time left. 713-780-3776, if you wish to text the show. We will be happy to take your text. Thoughts on the bogus foul at the end of the Bulls-Celtics game?
Okay. I think that's a foul. You hit a guy on the elbow while he's shooting, that's a foul. I don't know. Is it egregious? No. But is it a foul? Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. I think that, to me, that's a foul.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. So
Fred's got secret communication.
Yeah, I'm giving him an email address that was just texted to me. So, all right. Wow. He just...
He's got you a big winner here?
Yeah, this is for both of us.
Oh, okay.
It was a 15-to-1 shot. He had $5 to win on it for us. Do you want to cash it in or let it ride?
Oh. What say you, Fred?
15-to-1. You're not going to get a better price than 15-to-1.
And that won?
That won, yeah.
So what do we got, $75?
Yeah.
It's like 35 each?
I'd say take the money and run.
Okay.
You know, could we turn that into 500 real easily? Probably. I trust Mike with his betting, but.
The good thing is now I don't have to go to the ATM. I was going to have to go get money to park tonight, and now I don't have to do that. So that's good news.
There you go. That's easy enough. So thank you for that.
Mike's a better handicapper than you, I think.
Well, he's pretty darn good, I'll tell you that.
I think so.
And all because I just got him an email address.
There you go.
All right. Got to tell you about Blue Apron. If you're looking to celebrate something and you got some big news, then Blue Apron's a good way to do it. You can do it right there at home. Great meals. They're delivered right to your door for less than $10 a person per meal. And they have new recipes each week. And you can let them surprise you, or you can go in and pick the recipes you want. They're never repeated, so you never get bored. You can customize your plan. And the best part is each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, and it's so easy, even I can do it.
Yep, and the freshness is guaranteed. Every ingredient in your delivery is going to arrive ready to cook, or they will make it right. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/blitz. You're going to love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/blitz. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. We decided to take half the money and let the other half ride. So
your movie money?
No, the money we made that Michael made for us. So that's still got a chance to turn into a bunch of money. A couple people asking, be buying the film when it comes out on DVD, Blu-ray, where can we follow the release? I'll keep you guys updated. Don't worry. And then somebody asked, where would you put the movie Let It Ride with Richard Dreyfuss and all-time horse racing movies? That is number one, period. Not even close for anything else. That is the best one. I hope we top it. 713-780-ESPN.
But this won't be a horse racing movie, right?
Well, no, it's not about horse racing. I mean,
it's just staged at a horse track.
Yeah, a lot of it is. It's really about religion and the mob and gambling and drinking and all the things that, you know, all the things I love, basically. So, except I don't really love religion, but it's, yeah, but it's just that's the backdrop. It's not a horse racing movie by any stretch. It's more about gambling and dealing with loss and redemption and things like that. So I'm very proud of it, and I can't wait till the book comes out, and I think people will like it, especially if you're a Blitzer. I think you'll love it, and you know, I know you'll wait for the movie. So
that's right.
So
you know me too well.
Lamont asked if I could go on tour with one band for a week, it would be Blank. And I think you asked In Their Prime or Now. Can you go back in time? Because if you can go back in time, I'll tell you exactly who I'd want to go on tour with. Ozzy Osbourne when Randy Rhoads was his guitarist, when Ozzy was snorting ants and they died in the plane crash because they were dive-bombing the bus.
Yeah.
That's a party. That's,
I might go 70s Zeppelin.
That would be pretty badass,
like
too.
Early 71 or 72. Of course, I was like -9
right,
years old.
Right. Well, we've got to create a time machine first so we can do this.
I bet Aerosmith would also be a pretty good band to roll with.
Right up until they stopped doing drugs, yeah.
Yeah.
They would have been pretty awesome. Judas Priest, no, because you know, if you fell asleep.
You never know.
Yeah. No, I think those are some good choices, man. I probably wouldn't want to go on tour with the Beatles. I mean, I'd like to hang out with those guys if they were alive.
Just consider the scraps that George and Ringo got.
Yeah.
And, like, just hanging out with those. I mean.
But Zeppelin, I bet Zeppelin pulled more than they did. Robert Plant was kind of a sex symbol back
in the day. I think
they
were just more about it than the Beatles were. Like, they were more, like, they were doing 3-4 at a time.
Right.
I think. The Beatles were a little more, you know, under the radar, maybe.
And somebody mentioned 80s Motley Crue. That was pretty good, too.
That is a good one.
Yeah, those guys were having heart attacks and killing people in cars.
Yeah. That's hard living, though, man.
Yeah.
But you can't do that for long. But for a week, I can handle that.
Yeah, maybe a couple of days. I don't know that I'd
now, like, current me, 36-year-old me, I'd probably be better off with, like, Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
You know?
52-year-old me, probably the same.
Yeah.
Or some old married guy who doesn't do anything other than have a few drinks.
I think you'd be good with, like, Hall & Oates now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, are they still together? It'd have to be Hall or Oates.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But so this is Alice in Chains in the 90s.
No.
Nah, too much heroin.
Like, if I'm thinking of, like, I'm going to be hanging for a week, heroin's not what you would consider a party drug. That's more of a pass out and feel like you're kind of dead but a little bit alive drug, which, don't get me wrong, it has its ups. It has no ups.
No,
it has its benefits. It could feel good, but it's not what you're looking to live for a week. No.
Somebody asked how will the movie compare to the HBO show Luck? I was bummed when it was cut. It's not like that at all. It's got some of that, but I don't know how to really describe it other than there are scenes where you break down the betting a little bit to make people understand it. And same thing with the poker table. There's some scenes where you kind of where it's spelled out a little bit, but it's not really about betting and racing as much as it is about what you should believe in and who you should believe in and the mob, those kind of things. So, but I think people will like it. Getting a lot of Van Halen with David Lee Roth. AC/DC Back in Black days, if I could go AC/DC with Bon Scott,
yeah,
that would be pretty good.
Tyler Scott says Pantera in 95, hands down. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get shot.
I don't want to be with a band where they're going to shoot the guy on stage.
Not that great.
No. So. Juggalo Trey. This is a typical Juggalo Trey.
Juggalo Trey says, I would go on the road with the Insane Clown Posse.
No, he says Oasis.
Oh, same thing.
Oasis, ABBA. Yeah, those all sound like Juggalo Trey. He also says, we all know the best horse racing movie was Racing Stripes. That had What's-Her-Face in it, who was in Remember the Titans as a little girl.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember her name.
I don't know her name either, but I know who you're talking
about. Hayden Panettiere, I believe it is. Yeah,
Panettiere
or something like that, yeah. What about Johnny Cash?
Which Johnny Cash?
The dead one, or?
I've been reading a book about Johnny Cash. I'm actually reading a book. I'm in the middle of a book about Johnny Cash and how he was, like, on the road, and he wasn't as wild as you would think on the road. It was all kind of... He was very torn about it because he was really, really religious. So he had this family, and then he was like, for the longest time, he wasn't banging chicks, and then like he would, and then he'd feel bad about it for 2 weeks, and then he'd take a bunch of pills. Like, that doesn't sound like the most fun road trip, buddy.
No. I mean, you'd have to go when he wasn't feeling bad about it.
Right.
281 says the worst band to tour with would be Nirvana, Courtney Love running around while Kurt was moping around.
Yeah.
It's probably true. So... people want to know if you have any plays for the Bellator and UFC cards this weekend.
I don't know. I won't know until tomorrow, probably, if I've got anything finalized. But there's some decent value on some of those fights. I will say that the Mitrione Fedor fight. It's so tempting for me to bet, but I feel like it. I feel like if I make a bet on that fight, it's basically just because I am a sucker for a Fedor fight. I looked at that number earlier. Yeah, Fedor's even money, and I'm like, ah, it's so tempting.
Yeah, but I think you're betting the name though.
I think I'm not. I don't want to do it. Although I feel like if he beats him, that could be, you know, some easy money that's been made. But yeah, there's then the Halifax card. I was hoping that Derek Lewis would be an underdog. He's actually minus 120. He's a favorite. Gavin Tucker, who is a guy who's making his UFC debut, but is a very, very good fighter outside the UFC. I would have liked to bet him. He's minus 170. I would have liked to bet against Johnny Hendricks going up to 185. Hector Lombard minus 140. So I may do something, but it's not going to be anything big because none of the numbers that I wanted had a plus by them. So it's different with fighting. Like just because if you think you have a good idea who's going to win,
yeah,
you have to play the number. I mean,
right.
It's, there's no point spread. So I
almost never bet a fight unless I'm playing an underdog.
I'm almost that way. Like I'll hit some minus 115, 120s if I'm super sure about it. But I mean, minus 170, it's hard to get value out of it. What I will do with that sometime is I'll take a fight like that and then parlay it with someone who I think is a total lock. Might be like a minus 500 ridiculous fight.
Yeah.
But then I'll parlay it with that and just get a little bit of that juice back. But even then, it's not great, you know.
Lamont asking, now that you're out there, do you fear someone stealing your ideas or concept? Not really, because it's going to be it'll be a pretty good lawsuit since I've been talking about it on air now for, 5 years?
Yeah.
So... somebody comes along with that, I'll be, guess what? Guess where this came from? 713-780-ESPN if you wish to text the show. And, what do we got here?
What is this? Oh, it's a Molly's.
Nice.
It looks healthy.
Yeah, it does. I'm glad I haven't eaten yet today.
All right. Who's the truck on these tamales?
Yeah.
Fajita Fusion?
It's Fojita.
Fojita, all right.
Yeah, so I guess it's Vietnamese and whatever else.
We'll find. Well, I'm guessing some sort of Mexican if they're making tamales.
Yeah, that's a very interesting concept. We will we'll dive into that on the break and give you a full report on it. So that was the first truck I saw out there, so that I know they're here. And we'll be eating these throughout the show. Our lives don't suck. Goodness gracious. People bring us food and pay us to be at a racetrack. I tell you what.
What a life.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. We do have R.J. Bell at 5:30 today, as always. And, you know, I almost enjoy talking to R.J. when we're not in football season more than I do football season, because we always come up with some cool topics.
About some cool stuff, yeah.
And 6:15, we'll have Sasha Reisenhoover, who joined the show last year. So you can ask her your jockey question about the horse. That could be the first thing we ask. So she's really entertaining and a lot of fun. So we'll have her at 6:15. And just a fun Friday show out here at the racetrack for 50 Cent Fridays. 50 Cent beer starting at 6 o'clock. And just a reminder, too, that I will be out here tomorrow from 6 until 8. And we have some food, but I also know that there's food that we don't have out here that you'd like quite a bit.
Don't have any Raising Cane's out here, unfortunately. Raising Cane's, what they serve, the best chicken fingers. That's it. They're the kings of the chicken finger. Don't get me wrong. They've got their sides. They've got the crinkle cut fries. They've got the amazing sauce that you dip the chicken fingers and the fries and the bread and really everything they serve in, and it makes it better. But they focus on those chicken fingers, marinated for 24 hours, hand battered, cooked to order, only fresh, never frozen. The best chicken tenderloins you can get, and they can do tailgate boxes for your event if you're gonna go out before the game or you're watching at home. They've got you covered with these tailgate packs, 25 to 100, even more if you need, and they're ready in just minutes after you order. There are now 24 Cane's in the Houston metro area. Visit RaisingCane's.com to find the nearest location. And right now, good news, 1 in 3 wins food instantly during the Peel the Love game. You could also win $100,000 playing this game. All you got to do is spell out the letter C-A-N-E-S, and you got that dough. That's Raising Cane's, 24 locations. Visit RaisingCane's.com to find the one nearest you. Raising Cane's, one love. Dangerous, the things we do. Under the
influence. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from San Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. Blitz says they were briefly on tour with Nirvana, and it was miserable when Courtney was around. He said, I'd love 72 Stones. It's not a bad one either.
I think 72 Stones would be about the same as 72 Zeppelin.
Yeah.
It's probably not way different.
What do you think of Chavez versus Canelo, betting Chavez? We had a long way to go before that.
You're betting Chavez?
Yeah, that's what he's asking.
Good luck.
Yeah, I think
I think you're about to see a human punching bag.
Yeah, so that's an interesting one.
But hey, what do I know?
Somebody wants to know if Bob Arum's going to have a role in the movie. I think that would be entertaining.
Maybe on the phone.
Yeah, have him call in. Talking about, I'd love to have Bob Arum talking about Jesus.
Canelo's minus 900.
Oh, geez, really?
Yep. That's on Saturday, May 6th. We may be headed out there for that one. From the rumors, the rumor mill is a-spinning. Cinco de Mayo in Vegas? There's worse things, right?
Yeah, we're working on that. I've got to rearrange some stuff with the racetrack, which hopefully won't be a problem.
Ah.
Because I'm supposed to be here on the Friday, but I'm hoping to get it moved to Saturday.
Yeah.
So I can.
Yeah, and you'll just bail early.
I'll just bail early, and we'll be able to go out there. So that's the plan. But we'll see. That would be pretty cool to be out there.
Not
for
bad.
That. Yeah, I'd like to go to the fight, unfortunately. But there's no way to do that.
I wish they'd send us March 18th to go see Golovkin and Daniel Jacobs fight.
Yeah, that wouldn't suck.
But that's in New York City. They're not going to send us up there.
Well, they did one other time.
They did one time.
Yeah. That was actually the first time I enjoyed New York.
That was a Cotto fight.
Yeah, and it was
I don't remember who he fought.
Cotto and I can't remember either. But that was a pretty cool trip, I have to admit. And
I would do that all the time.
Yeah, yeah. That was
Was it Marquez Cotto?
Might have been. Might have been. It was a big fight. I know that. And they didn't send as many people.
No, it was a small crew.
Yeah, so we really had the place to ourselves, and we were able to get some really good interviews and have some fun. So, yeah.
When was that? 2014?
Yeah, it sounds about right. 2014.
Sergio Martinez?
Yeah, okay, that's what it was. It was Cotto Martinez.
June 7th, 2014. Yeah, that was a cool trip. He used to fight almost every I thought he used to fight Cinco de Mayo every year. I guess that was just one year when he fought Floyd Mayweather. But yeah, that he's fought that weekend in June, two years in a row. But I don't know that he's got something coming up now. But going to watch those fights in Madison Square Garden is pretty. It's a pretty special thing.
That was incredible, and that whole week was great. That's where I went out to the Belmont to watch California Chrome not win.
And you. Up until then, you didn't like New York City.
No, and that trip was...
You know what? This was a good time.
Yeah, that was the best time I've had there. And I didn't really enjoy it at the Super Bowl that much, but I had such a good time, and maybe because it was just fewer people, and getting to go out to the track and everything and going to the fight, all of it was just the best time I'd had.
It was summertime, which helped.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, summertime up there is not bad. I mean, I know people up there complain about it being hot, and it's not... cold.
Right. It's not Houston.
But it's
hot,
not like Houston.
No.
Yeah. For us, I think it was a getaway.
Yeah. 832 says he's on the way to Austin for his bachelor party. What's your favorite beer at Jester King? And can you give us a shout out, Matt? There you go. There's your shout out. What's your favorite beer at Jester King?
My favorite beer at Jester King won't be on tap this weekend. So I'll look up their tap list for the weekend and let you know. But yeah, usually their stuff is pretty limited on. They have a release weekend, and then it's just gone. So that's why I have to drive out there so often.
Yeah, that's you go there a lot.
I go there pretty often.
That's one of your favorite places. And
they do have that beer de la Noir, so that's the one that I would go with while you're out there. And if they have Spawn on tap, you should get that as well, or in bottles. That's good stuff.
And the Fojita folks. That's a very good tamale.
Not bad.
Very good. So if you're coming out here and you want a very different kind of tamale, they nailed it. So go check it out. We'll be updating you as we get more food. I'm told there's a bunch more coming here in a few minutes. So hopefully we'll have it on break and not in the middle of the segment. 713-780-ESPN if you wish to text the show. And... I know that this is just going to keep coming up and keep coming up with the Romo stuff. The latest is it's like, well, he wants them to cut him. They're probably going to cut him. We've been saying all along that they're going to have to cut him.
Probably the
way
it's going to go.
And that's cool if they do. And yes, if they do, the Texans should take a look at him at a reduced rate if he's willing to take less money. And if he is, great. You know, I'd be all for it. But I think realistically – I don't know how little he's going to be willing to take, and it's just kind of up to him at that point.
Man, I feel like if I'm Tony Romo, Tony Romo's made a lot of money in his career, and I'm not, you know, it's easy for me to tell other people what they should be willing to take
right.
And what they shouldn't be, but I would think that the priority for Tony Romo, who he's had the kind of career that if he wins a Super Bowl or two, he'll get talked about as a Hall of Famer. If he doesn't, he won't. So, to me, priority would be going out there and finding a team that gives you a chance to win. Tony Romo has an estimated net worth of $45 million right now. That's getting you by. You're doing okay.
Yeah, you might be able to survive with that. I don't know.
Man, are you signing with the Browns and basically wasting – your last few years so you can get a couple extra mil a year? Or are you going to a team like Denver where you could win next year? You'd be a legit Super Bowl contender.
With a healthy Tony Romo at his best,
yeah.
Does he make the Texans a Super Bowl contender?
He definitely puts them in the conversation. You know, I mean, it's If Tony Romo can stay, I think that's the biggest question.
I don't think he can stay healthy. I think whoever gets him, you're just hoping that you get 12 games out of him and he's ready for the playoffs. I think you better have a quality backup, and at least in both of those teams have guys who played last year. I don't know about quality with Brock Osweiler, but you would at least have a guy who started in the league, and you better have that if you're going to sign Tony Romo.
Yeah, I think that Denver in Houston are two of the more interesting ones. I heard Salisbury talking about Kansas City. I don't know that Romo's a fit in Kansas City. I think part of why Kansas City is so effective is because they don't ever turn the ball over, and they're not looking for big plays. They're a ball control, grinding offense, and they play good defense. I don't know if Tony Romo would be a fit there. But I think Denver is he's such an upgrade over what they've got. And Denver kind of wants to play the same kind of ball that KC does. But
yeah.
If Denver had Alex Smith, they'd be a Super Bowl contender. So yeah. I don't know if Kansas City's really needing to upgrade. But Houston is another obvious one that jumps out at me. It's almost impossible now because they've got too much money invested in the position. But had Minnesota been able to get Tony Romo instead of Sam Bradford? I mean, Minnesota's got a team that you'd have to look at as a contender. So, you know, there's a lot of teams out there that Tony Romo – like, I don't know if the Bills or the Jets are good enough that Romo –
the Jets certainly aren't.
Makes them a contender.
Maybe the Bills would be, maybe.
The Bills become an interesting team at least,
right.
You know?
Right.
There's something to talk about there.
I think they're a playoff team. And, again,
we're
assuming he's healthy.
Right. Yeah, that's the big assumption. But you're also – I would think if someone's looking to sign Tony Romo when they're coming up with the accounting on his salary, they're saying, hey, man, you've had a hard time staying healthy. You know, we're
all right. Well, if he wants to play for a team like the Texans, the Broncos, he's going to have to take minimum anyway.
Right.
And or close to it. And I just don't know what his motivation is. If he wants to get another big payday, that's not going to happen on one of those teams. And same thing with Minnesota. You could, you know, if you're going to go there, you're going to have to take the minimum. And I think, or not necessarily the minimum, but certainly not much money.
Right.
And that becomes what is his motivation. And 832 asking, why would Romo want to be paid less than Brock, though? Well, I mean, that's no real control over that. You can't just suddenly say, oh, well, we're going to take this Brock money and put it into Romo.
Right. Nobody's going to want to get less money than Brock, but some. I mean, well, why do you think Tom Savage feels good about it? No, but that's just the reality of it. And the thing you could do with Tony Romo is you could sign him to a 2-year deal where the second year is the big year for him. So when Brock Osweiler comes off the books, the big money gets – I mean, that way Tony's got sort of a guarantee that big money's coming, but he would have to be willing to basically play for nothing year one.
Yeah, and that's – you know, with his injury history, I mean, if you're the Browns even, do you spend a bunch of money on him?
If you're the Browns, you just keep throwing anything at the wall and hoping. I mean, I couldn't imagine being the GM of the Browns, so don't ask me to be put in those shoes, but they've got to figure something out. What they're doing isn't working.
Are the Bears contenders if he's
no.
there?
No, I don't think so either. I mean, honestly, if they can't keep Jay Cutler healthy, I don't know how they're going to keep Romo healthy. And I mean, they've got a lot of issues. And
so I guess there's not that much of a market, frankly. I mean, if you're
no, there's a ton of teams that would take him.
Yeah,
because the Bears would take Tony Romo.
But I mean, there's
and
not
just hope that it's something different.
If he wants to go someplace where he can actually win,
the market for Romo. That is willing to take him on and have him be the quarterback is pretty big.
Yeah.
The market of teams that actually have a chance to do something if he's there is not so big.
All right. I'll tell you what's big, Saloon Door Brewing down in Webster. So if you're on the other end of town tonight, that's your place to go hang out. You can check them out at saloondoorbrewing.com. They've got so many great beers. And what I love about them is they have so many stouts that I I'm a big stout guy. They're loaded with them, the peanut butter and chocolate one. I mean, the peanut butter one. They've got a chocolate one. They've got all of them. And the whole, just a terrific collection of beers to choose from, but also just a cool place to hang out. They've got two projector screens on the wall that always play sports. So you want to go catch your Rockets. You want to catch the All-Star game. You want to catch the Astros when they're playing. That's the place to go. Wednesday night, they have trivia night. And that's also awesome because I love trivia. And that's a big night for them, so go check it out. They have the food out there from Missy's Meals that is so good. And they're just cool people. And that's what I like about Saloon Door. You're going to get a great experience. You're going to get great beer. And you're going to get to hang out with cool people because they really go out of their way to make it a terrific experience for people who live in Webster or who just happen to be visiting. So if you're driving down that way for any reason, swing by 105 Magellan Circle, Suite A in Webster. It's less than a half mile behind Cinemark and Cheddar's off of I-45. And you want to learn more about the beers, just go check them out at saloondoorbrewing.com. That's Saloon Door Brewing.